to welcome our next guest, who I served with in the House of Representatives for my two terms. Currently in, he is in his third term. I believe he represents, this is, I think it's Monroe. At least that's one of his towns. He could have a he could be a multiple town rep. Iowa's only one. But I also know he also, his full-time job, I believe, is in, is it in emergency response dispatch, if I remember correctly?
It's in the town of Stratford, I know that much.
Stratford?
Yeah.
Where he works?
Believe so, yes.
Okay, well, we'll get him on, and we'll get to the bottom of all this. He is State Representative J.P. Straczynski. J.P., good morning.
Good morning, Gary, and I'm honored to be on the Talk of Connecticut this morning.
Oh, come on, it's all our honor. Are you kidding me? We've been trying to get you on for a long time now. You're a really difficult guy to peg down. You're busy. I would imagine with all this COVID stuff going on and you're in the emergency response and dispatch, that keeps you on your toes, huh?
It certainly does. It certainly does. And just to clarify just a bit, you were right. You nailed Monroe. Monroe, I represent the entire town of Monroe, and I also have a portion of the town of Newtown as well. So thank you for acknowledging that.
Oh, I couldn't forget. I mean, you're like Mr. Monroe here, you know.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And hopefully the residents see fit to reelect me in November.
Oh, good. So you are running again.
I am.
Nice. That would be your fourth term.
That is correct.
You and I came into the House together.
We did.
Yeah, that was a good class. We had a we brought it up to 64, if I remember correctly.
It was a great class. We had a lot of great talent, and I'll never forget some of the speeches you gave on the floor of the House. Very, very entertaining, very meaningful. You know, some of the representatives we have on both sides of the aisle sometimes speak and not everyone listens. But when you got up and you spoke, you really captivated the crowd. And that was always fantastic.
That is, I'm blushing now.
I doubt it.
All right, I'm not. But that was a nice thing to say. That means a lot to me. Thank you so much, JP. And let me tell you something. You deserve all the accolades that you get. You can go as high as you want in the House Republicans. I have every bit of confidence. Of course, it's a little surprising. We're losing a lot of people this year, right? I mean, let's start with Themis. She's not running for reelection. Rich Smith is not running. Gail Laviel isn't running. John Fry isn't running. Wow.
Representative Bill Szymanski.
Oh, Bill Szymanski's not running neither?
Correct.
Oh, no, New Hartford.
Yeah, so we're losing a lot of talent, but, you know, that's what this job is about. It's about being a representative for the people. And as you know, well, you know, more than anybody else, it's not supposed to be a full-time career.
Well, it can't be.
It's not supposed to be something where you spend 20, 30 years doing it. You go in, you serve as a representative of the people, and then you move on. And, you know, I take a lot of examples from Florida's legislature. They have 6 years in the House, and that's it. That's their term limit. And basically, their thought is, if you can't get something accomplished that you want to get accomplished in 6 years, it's probably not going to happen. So it's time to move on.
You know what? I actually have that same philosophy, except not in 6 years. I say 10 years, and then you're gone.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the term limits would be definitely something that the state of Connecticut should seriously look into. It does place a lot of the legislative experience on staff, so people rely on staff more. But I do feel that getting fresh ideas, fresh blood into there, and this is not a partisan thing, this is on both sides of the aisle, is great, because new people come in with a fresh set of eyes, with a different experience, whether they have a different career or whether they have a different experience in their life, and it just changes. You know, that's the beauty of the legislature, is that every 2 years, mm-hmm. the entire body can really change their entire perspective.
People need to pay more attention to how their representative is voting, because let's face it, you and I both know that other than, you know, the big hot topics that get the headlines in the papers and the sound bites on TV, which you maybe have about, you know, maybe four or five of those per session, what people don't understand is that there's a lot of bills that fly under the radar that have just as much to do with people's everyday way of life that doesn't get the media attention, and therefore people have no idea how their state representative or state senator even voted on it.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, excuse me, I can't blame people because, you know, they've got busy lives. They've got families. They've got friends. They've got work. They have all these commitments that keep them very busy. I don't expect the average person to go home and look up what happened in the legislature that day. But that's why it's so important for your state representative, your state senator to be constantly reaching out in social media, in emails, in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, to communicate what they're doing. And then just, you know, keep tabs on what they're doing, and feel free to ask those questions. And, you know, I listened to your earlier caller who had his concerns with the unemployment.
Oh, you did?
When I tell you, I have had more constituents reach out to me in the last 6 to 8 weeks than I have in the previous 6 years I've been a legislator. I have been, yeah, we're not in session, but I have been so busy with constituent questions, and I would say 90% of them revolve around unemployment. It has been a huge issue. There's estimates that my town of Monroe, which is a very, you know, strong suburban community, unemployment is not usually an issue in my town. We are up to around 15% unemployment. And
wow.
It's really, really affecting our community in a big way.
Oh, my goodness. So when you hear this individual's dilemma, what advice would you offer him?
My advice would be to get a hold of your state rep or your state senator. I know that you gave him that advice, but then try to continue to make those phone calls. I've had several constituents reach out to me, and then what we do in my office is we reach out to our Department of Labor liaison.
Right. Yep.
And as you can imagine, that person is very busy right now. However, you know, we reach out, we ask the questions, and then we encourage them to call that number. And that number, and I'll be very honest, it's not going to be you call, they answer right away. It's going to be you call, you're going to get a busy signal. You call back in 5 minutes, you're going to get a busy signal. Call back in 10 minutes, and maybe someone will put you on hold. But you need to spend the time in order to get on there and try to get some of those questions asked. It really is a battle, and it really is a struggle, but that's kind of where we are at this point, unfortunately.
What is the word that you're receiving out of the Department of Labor?
Overwhelmed. Completely overwhelmed.
Understaffed? Are they working? They're working around the clock, right?
I don't know if they're working around the clock, but I do know that they have quadrupled their workforce as far as unemployment goes. So, and they were also, when this first started, they were working on a software application.
I know,
That was
the
40
old,
years
they
old.
Had the COBOL system.
Yeah, COBOL system. I mean,
from the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, listen, you people like you and I were around during the 80s. And we didn't even have that kind of technology, you know? I mean, like, this is something that is way behind the times, and it's not something that they could easily gear up for. But at the same time, I feel like they could have done a better job to try to organize and get a little bit more prepared, knowing that this was going to be something happening. That being said, you know, the people, the good folks, the Department of Labor are trying their best. And we just need to be, and I, you know, it's tough to say this to a constituent who is literally waiting for that money to be deposited so they could feed their children. But I have to tell people, you just need to be patient and be persistent.
One of the issues, I think, for them is that he is blind and she is maybe just a senior who is, you know, has a couple of issues or whatnot.
Sure.
I don't even know the personal. There's personal questions I just won't ask, obviously, particularly on the air.
Especially on
you
the
know,
air. Exactly.
Right.
I was going to say, we need their address to find out exactly who their state rep is, but you don't want to give that information.
Well, no, we were able to obtain that information offline. In other words, Christian was able to get that quietly off the air. And there's two state reps that I am not familiar with. They must be new this term. Of course, Varengia. You and I both know Representative Varengia from West Hartford.
I know Representative Varengia very well.
Yeah, me too.
Chairman of the Public Safety Committee. He is also retiring this year.
Oh, is he really? I didn't know that. That's sad. He's a good guy, you know?
He is a good guy, and he is one of those people in a building who gets things done and does not necessarily care about politics, doesn't care about growing here or growing there or trying to get a better parking space or a better office. He's just looking to do what's best for the state of Connecticut. And we have those people on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's important that we acknowledge that because, you know, in this world, especially what's coming out of Washington, everything is so divisive.
But he wasn't. I never found him. He's definitely not in that progressive wing of the Democrat Party. He's more of a moderate.
Absolutely. In fact, he's a former Republican. He served on the West Hartford legislature as a Republican.
You see that? Look at that.
That being said, so in that case where you have someone who's legally blind, has disabilities, their spouse also has the same, a suggestion I would make is to reach out to their local social services whether it's a senior center or local social services, because there are people who will make house calls that will walk you through things over the phone. And a town, a city like West Hartford, I believe, would have that kind of infrastructure in place. And that would be another suggestion I would have.
That's a great suggestion, JP. I'm so glad we have you on this morning, particularly after that caller. Great advice. All right, I got to switch gears because I only have a few more minutes left with you. Number one, you yourself took a coronavirus test, did you not?
I did. So mid-March, and typically for me, change of seasons, I usually get sick, right? So some context there is I usually get sick. So middle of March, I started to develop some symptoms, and, you know, stuffy nose, congestion, a little bit of a cough. Typically wouldn't think anything of it,
right,
except that
cold.
This whole pandemic is starting to roll out across the country. And so out of strict precautions, I decided to, you know, go home, stay home, and keep myself away from my family and work. And I talked to my doctor, who was not taking patients in person. He was doing it over the phone only, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, you know, you don't have a fever. This doesn't sound like anything. Just, you know, rest up. You know, let it go through the system and you'll feel better. And then a day and a half later, I had found out that Representative Garibay from mm-hmm. East Windsor tested positive, and we had just been in session together. And so I called my doctor back, and he goes, you know what, out of an abundance of caution, let's get you tested. So he prescribed a test. The test was 5 days after he prescribed it. So I had to wait 5 days to take the test.
Mm-hmm.
I took the test, and it took 9 days to get the results.
Wow.
So that was me being
quarantined.
You know, I quarantined and isolated for about 15 days straight, which was very difficult. I mean, I was very fortunate because I had, you know, I had friends, I had family dropping off food. My wife, Manuela, was absolutely terrific.
Aww.
She was great to me. We had this system where she would leave food out on my porch, and then I would go get it and come bring it back in. And I was still on the phone and doing whatever work I could. But I got to tell you, that 15 days without, you know, human contact was very difficult. Fortunately, the test came back negative.
Good.
And I was cleared of all symptoms, and I've been back to work ever since. But waiting those 14 or 15 days just for a simple test was very difficult. And I know that we've made progress, and we have quicker testing now. But that's one thing I've been talking about with whoever will listen, is that, you know, this testing is really the most important thing. And it's a really, really critical part of this entire response.
Yeah, but the issue with testing is that you could get tested, okay, and then be self-quarantined until you get the results back. You get the results back, it comes back negative. I mean, unless you're getting tested continuously, you know, you what's to prevent you from catching it a week later or a day later?
Well, it's very true, and that's why we do the social distancing, and that's why we wear the masks, and that's why we wear the gloves, and that's why we have bouncers outside of Target and Trader Joe's, because we want to try to do what we can to limit whatever interactions. And that's true. So if I got tested on a Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was out with friends and out socializing and, you know, hugging, kissing, handshaking people, then, yeah, you never know what's going to happen. But that's why we do this, in order to try to at least slow the spread. And that's why the social distancing, as frustrating as it is sometimes, and frankly as annoying as it is really important, because we need to make sure that we do our best to flatten that curve and try to stop whatever spread this is going.
You know, you work, your full-time job is working with first responder, right?
So, yeah, I manage a 911 dispatch center for the town of Stratford,
okay,
here in Fairfield County. And as you know, we're kind of the hotbed of COVID for the state.
Yes, you are.
And it's been very difficult. In fact, as of last night, we've had 595 COVID cases in my town alone here in Stratford. And we've had 52 fatalities, one of which was our finance director. And so it's been it's really hit close to home here for the town I work for in Stratford, which is also the town I grew up in. And we have done a lot of different things, and it's been very busy. I've been working a modified schedule where I work every other day, 12-hour shifts, with my partner, Steve, who does the opposite. So, you know, I'll work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He'll work Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and we switch those days up. But we've been doing a lot of things as far as, most importantly, ensuring the safety and protection of our first responders, of our first responding firefighters, of our paramedics and EMTs, and our police officers also, who are out there in the field. And these are the people that can't social distance the same way as someone else can. someone else can, you know, go into a grocery store and mask up and glove up and take their time and make sure that they're careful. But when you get called to an active domestic with weapons, you can't wait around and get ready. You have to go in and react.
Yeah, and domestics are on the rise.
They certainly are.
Yeah.
They certainly are. So we've been doing a lot of things as far as ensuring the proper response for everyone involved, including the patient. You know, and that's important as well. Is I can't tell you, we've had a lot of cases where we'll get calls from homes and they'll say, my wife tested positive a week ago, I'm not feeling well. And then we respond and we find out that that person has caught it. So we've done a lot of different things as far as asking questions. So, you know, our usual response, our usual questioning time, we call it interrogation, but interrogation sounds pretty harsh. But we ask these questions of callers, and we ask a lot of questions about, you know, body temperature, fever, chills, difficulty breathing, persistent cough, any recent travel, any exposure to people who have tested positive. And then we give specific instructions about wearing masks when the responders get there. Because our personnel safety, our EMTs, firefighters, paramedics, police officers, that's what's most important, because they have to go back to their home, to their families, at the end of their shift.
Are they going back to their homes, or are they isolating themselves by renting a room somewhere?
I would say, from the people I talk to, you know, the far majority of them are going home. Now, whether they're going home, taking their clothes off in the garage, and taking a shower before they even walk into their house, probably.
Yeah.
But we do not, in my experience, have a lot of people who are, you know, holding up in a hotel somewhere waiting this out. It's just not practical.
I know that nobody would ever admit that, you know, that they're nervous about it. You know, that's part of the job. They're warriors. I completely understand that. But there's got to be a part of them that they're extra caution.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, that's why we have these precautions we put in place, asking those questions, trying to identify any possible exposures, because we want to make sure that, you know, we keep our personnel safe, we keep our patients, our citizens, our residents, and our visitors to the town of Stratford as safe as possible. And you'll see, you know, at a routine medical call, you'll see three people with full body suits on, just out of precaution, just to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep everyone as safe as possible.